Welcome to the Casserole of Nonsense with Chris, Scott, and Casey.
And let's go to commercial. Okay, maybe not, but what's what we're talking about on the Casserole Nonsense this week? Commercials, advertising, kind of a necessary evil, but, you know, some ads are better than others, and that's what we're going to discuss in this episode. I turn to you guys, Scott, Casey. Advertising, like you said, it's a necessary evil. A lot of businesses need it for getting their message out, media outlets needed to keep the doors open. So your thoughts on advertising as a whole right out of the gate? I'm just going to put you on the spot.
Oh, advertisers? I love advertisers. They're my favorite people, Chris.
I thought you would say that.
I love advertisers. They are my favorite people. They provide such a service to everybody. And if they would provide a service to some other podcasts. I'm not a cheap whore.
We are 70 seconds in and shameless promotion has already begun. So there we go.
Hey, we're still on the rails, but no, I mean, you think about the dollars that are generated in advertising. I mean, it's estimated that advertising spending worldwide is going to surpass $560 billion in 2019 when it's all said and done. That's a 4% growth over 2018. I mean, you're talking about money here.
Now, we can't say the same about 2020 right now, but your point's taken.
No, but I tell you, I don't know that how much advertising would go down in 2020 since so many other people are going to be in front of screens.
That's a valid point. It's a valid point.
Yeah. Look, these guys are going to find a way to reach their markets. It just may be they have to get a little bit more creative. There are all kinds of different marketing platforms nowadays. Back in the day, you had print ads were big. You know, newspapers. That's what funded the newspaper and magazines.
Newspapers were big. What are those?
Well, back in the day, they would actually take all their news and put it in paper form. And then they would pay a kid to drive out to your house and break a window with a rolled up version of it.
that is your weekly "This is back in my day" moment.
Yeah, back in my day. Yes. This. Get off my lawn, moment brought to you by Scott's Turf Builder.
Not a sponsor.
when you guys were younger and Casey, as our resident youngling.
Yeah, our resident youngin.
Billboards. I mean, you think about what, you know, of course, you know, back in the day, they had those old Bermashave billboards that you would be driving down, and so you'd drive down the road, and there'd be one line of an ad, and then you drive a little bit further as the second line, and then it gave you basically an entire poem or write up to pass the time as you were driving. But you still have billboards today, but now you have all the electronic ones.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, billboards aren't as big now because you may not necessarily see an ad on a certain billboard unless it's just the one ad because it rotates through like five or six. So the time you're spent passing that billboard, you might see three ads, but you're not going to see all of them.
Right. You're absolutely right. It's not quite as effective because it's not quite there that stationary. It's not there all the time.
It's not in your face as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Times Square billboard.
Right.
You know, that's basically a TV screen that changes ads every 30 mm-hmm. seconds. But now, in this year, you talk about advertising. You know, of course, a lot of people are watching, you know, streaming. So they, you still have those ads on their streaming services.
Unless you get the ad free ones.
Can I make an advertisement real quick? And this advertisement is for all the advertisers that send me emails. I get it. you all have your own plan for COVID-19. I get it. But I don't care if I purchased stuff from you in 2014 and haven't since. I don't care what your policy is on how you're dealing with COVID-19 right now. Don't care.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but wait a minute.
What, you look at.
Hold on. But they care about you.
No, they don't.
Well, now you have social media. So you and Buzz Marketing, which is the podcasting where we, like I just did for Scott's Turf Builder, not a sponsor. You know, where you basically, if you have a platform that people listen to, you drop a product. That's just Buzz Marketing. That's,
yeah.
So, you know, you have all these new outlets that they're reaching you. And Casey, to your point, we went out this morning to do our grocery shopping run. I will not say where we went. But we stopped at a car dealer just to, because there's nobody there and I can actually get a look at a car without having to be assaulted by, you know, 6-12 salespeople. You know, can you imagine? It's like, you know, one person hits the car lot and they come out of you like zombies. There's a customer.
As the tumbleweeds go through the parking lot.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to have a battle royale. All right, you guys fight it out. This is Fight Club, and the one who survives can tell me about this car.
I would watch that. I would watch that.
That might be interesting. But we were, you know, we stopped off, and we didn't much more than get out and look at a couple of cars, and got back in the car and drove down the road, and my wife gets on her phone when we get home, and she looks down, and it's already, she's already getting ads from this car, from this brand of car.
Oh.
Because they track you through your cell phone, and they can tell that you stopped at one of their dealerships. Therefore, you might be looking at one of their cars. I mean, it's
not the, very 1984.
Oh yeah, very mm-hmm. much so.
Yeah.
So the ads now are even specifically tailored to you, especially if you're streaming. Mm-hmm. You can look up something on your phone, and the next thing you know, you got an ad for it on your TV right. In between the episodes of Breaking Bad. So it's really these advertisers. I mean, that money is out there. They're going to find a way to reach you. It's just a matter of, you know, the game has just changed for 2020, and they're having to make that adjustment. When you guys think about advertising, get in your Wayback Machines and think back to some of the more memorable ones when you were a kid, because a lot of the Saturday morning cartoons and other children's programming would do a lot to be programmed towards kids. Can you think of any that stick out either industry wise or actual brand wise?
As far as the Saturday morning stuff, no, because I was always wanting the cartoon to come back on. That's why they would have to say, "We'll be right back after these messages."
Yeah.
So I don't remember a lot of those ads, like Saturday morning ads, because I was so tuned into what was on TV.
Honeycomb. Have you ever had honeycomb cereal?
I have.
Honeycomb cereal, while it tastes fine, is some of the worst cereal you can get because it's basically a jawbreaker in cereal form. It's a huge piece of cereal. You open the box and there's like 12 in the box. But I remember that commercial because it did come on in between the Bugs Bunny cartoons when I was watching back in the day.
I take it back. I just thought of one. Fruity Pebbles was kind of like that too.
You're right.
Fruity Pebbles was prevalent.
Right. Yeah, all those sugary, cereals on mm-hmm. Saturday morning you would get.
Yep.
And then as the morning went on, you'd get whatever hot toy was, you know, what was being sold then. The Tickle Me Elmos from when Erica was little. And, you know, I can't remember, you know, the toys, you know, back when I was a kid, I can't remember exactly when, you know, it was like The Rock and String. Of course, I'm old. now the action figures, G.I. Joe. I remember G.I. Joe.
Yep.
G.I. Joe Kung Fu Grip. So,
I those are watching, you know, the Saturday morning cartoons on Nickelodeon and ABC Family. And it seemed like the ads back then for like the toys for children would be like, hey, kids, ask your parents if you'll get this. Now, when you're flipping through the channels, it seems like the ads are like, directed at the children, and then tell you, hey, go ask your parents for this. It's like, you must get this. You must, you, not your parents. You must get this.
They cut out the middleman.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's the wholesaling of the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Direct the market.
But what gets me here, Chris, if you picked up on that, he says Nickelodeon and ABC Family.
Yeah, I see. I remember. I remember ABC, ABC, CBS, and NBC still having Saturday morning cartoons for quite some time until probably the turn of the century, I guess.
Exactly. We're talking about, we actually had to watch programs that were just about completely ad generated. No subscription.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No syndication.
Yeah. You're talking about 2, 4, 5, 8, and sometimes 28, right? That's what you're talking about.
I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm talking about having to adjust the antenna on your. There used to be TVs used to have these little things that came out of them, and they were like bug antenna, and that's why they're called antenna. And you would have to move them in different directions to get the signal, and sometimes crush tinfoil on them.
Yes.
Or sometimes if you wanted to watch the game, your dad would make you hold the antenna because you made a great booster.
That or-
and so for 2 hours. What, Chris?
That or you or the remote control.
Exactly. Yes. When you had a game on 4 and a game on 5, your job was to stand next, and whatever game was exciting, you would watch that until the commercial came on, and then you had to
switch.
Stand up and turn the little knob.
Yeah. I remember actually pushing a button, though, so.
Yeah.
the next step up.
Never mind. But thinking back to ads that you guys grew up with, did you ever have a favorite? Was there an ad that just really struck you out as either, you know, that was a really great ad or that was a really funny ad or anything like that?
I can answer that. Yes. You know, growing up, especially, I think this came on CBS around Christmas time. You knew it was around Christmas time when the Campbell's soup ad came on with a poor little snowman outside, and he sees that inside they're warm and they want soup. It kind of makes no sense. I mean, that snowman's going to melt, but he comes inside, he takes some of that Campbell's soup, and he's all happy. And that you just knew that it was Christmas time when that ad came on. It was the yearly thing.
And I'm gonna piggyback off of that one just a little bit as far as the Christmas theme is concerned. It was more holiday themed, and it was the same station here in Nashville, Channel 5, WTVF. The old cartoon with the little boy and the little girl walking through the town, and then they have the blinking lights at the end.
Oh, that's great. That is an excellent commercial.
Yeah, that's one that I remember the most because I mean that was a holiday season to me.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Christmas doesn't start until the Channel 5 commercial comes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get that. Mine was the Chuck Wagon dog food. You know, the Chuck Wagon would drive through the kitchen, the dog would be chasing it, and the dog chase it through the house, and then drive into the bag. No, nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
Crickets. No.
Crickets.
Crickets. Okay, that commercial probably went off before both of you were born.
Possibly.
Yeah, it was, but it was, you know, it got the dog's interest, and it was fun because as a kid, you know, hey, it's a dog, and he's chasing the Do you know what a chuck wagon is? Let me ask you this. It's a covered wagon, Casey. They drive one. They drive one in Oklahoma at Oklahoma State University. And occasionally they turn it over.
They turn over, yes.
Is that Oklahoma?
It's Oklahoma.
It's Oklahoma.
The Sooner Schooner.
Yeah, that's right. It's Oklahoma. I'm sorry, the cowboy threw me off. But
it threw them off, too.
All I can think of is Blazing Saddles and that one. Yeah.
That thought crossed my mind when you started talking about that. And it went going around in a circle all by itself.
All by itself. But yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So imagine that one driving through your living room and the dog chasing it, and then it drives to the back. That was a favorite of mine growing up. And then Charlie Tuna. I hate tuna. I hate tuna with a passion. I don't even like the fish that, you know, when you catch it, it's that's part of the reason I don't like sushi, but the other part is it's raw. But the, you know, reasons.
Right.
But the Charlie the Tuna commercials were always funny to me. Do you guys remember those at all?
I do, actually.
I don't think I'd.
Yeah, I hate giving you homework after every show, Casey. But... But it just seems to me that you've got to up your pop culture. If you know, there's a reason why I excel at trivia. It's because I've lived so much of it. I can't claim it to being smart. It's just, you know, if you've been schlepping this pebble as long as I have, you tend to remember more. Okay. Well, how about some of the worst ads? You guys, are there any cringeworthy ads?
Several. some that you don't want to even talk about or remember. They were so bad.
Yeah. There was a writer back in the day in Georgia when I was growing up, Louis Grizzard. He was a humorist. Started out as a sports writer. And he did a bit, and it's exactly how I feel. He said that he couldn't wait till Kathy Rigsby hit menopause. He didn't know what to do because of all those women's products that, you know, whatever it was that she was promoting during that time. Now, I understand that's, you know, it's a necessary thing, but I don't want to see any little blue pill commercials on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, can we not just ask a doctor if we've got problems? I mean, do we really need, or put it in a men's magazine, or for goodness sakes, just keep it on ESPN where it belongs? I'm saying both of them, not men and women.
I'm going to go a different direction. I hate, and I mean hate, the Geico fraud commercials. I know a lot of people like them, but I cannot stand that stupid lizard. I just want to run him over on the highway out here.
The lizard?
Yes. Yes.
The gecko. I am not
at all of the Geico lizard. He's a lizard. Not a fan.
You don't like him because he's British.
Oh, hello. You going to run me over? Yes, I am.
If he was a Canadian lizard, you would run over him.
I need to apologize to you.
I don't think Geico is going to sponsor this show, Bert.
No. No. We've run that one off the road.
Yeah, pretty much. See where you went with that.
That's what she said.
I mean, there's again, you know, if it's a personal issue, I'm not a big fan of drug commercials. You know, take this if you have this disorder. You know, I don't care if it's a hangnail. You know, I don't care to hear about that kind of medicine on TV. I think it causes a problem. One, two. I really don't want you to advertise a drug that could cause, you know, anal leakage. It really, when I'm trying to eat my cornflakes or my chocolate pudding, just no.
Especially if you have a stuffy nose, you don't want to hear the side effects. You might have some anal bleed.
And is there anything worse than that damn Lamisil commercial that peel a toe up? I mean, come on, guys. Let's leave a little something to the imagination here.
Thankfully, when you said drugs, the first thing that came to my mind was the "This is your brain on drugs" commercial, the egg.
Yeah.
That was the one that came to my mind.
That was actually an effective commercial.
This is me trying to rein this thing back in.
Yeah. Well, I don't like eggs anyway. So, hey, drugs, eggs, I equated them, stay away from.
Yeah.
I think that a lot, advertising, it does push off, but every company has to do it in some way, shape, or form, just to get their product out there. It is that important. People do react to it. If they didn't, we wouldn't spend that kind of money on it.
Yeah.
So it is, I get it. I just wish that we didn't have certain platforms for certain ones, but on the other hand, that's free market, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I could do without seeing two people in bathtubs looking out over a sunset. First of all, where are you getting the bathtubs, put them outside in the first place? That's unrealistic as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
And that's not entirely sanitary.
In these times, no.
You're not social distancing.
Yeah.
That's the one place you should be able to social distance. That reminds me of the Saturday Night Live skit, the love toilet.
Oh, no.
You've not seen that one?
I haven't.
Where the man and the woman can go to the bathroom at the same time and stare in each other's eyes. Cause it's basically an S-shaped toilet with two holes.
I'm imagining this, and I don't want to.
Kevin Nealon, Victoria Jackson is hilarious.
Okay. On that note, I think it's a good time for a break.
Station break?
Yeah. We'll be right back with the Casserole Nonsense after these messages. Welcome back to the Casserole of Nonsense, the advertising edition. We've talked about all sorts of ads. We've talked about good ads, bad ads, how effective ads are, the ads I don't want to see again. Now, let's turn our attention to the GOAT list. And Scott, you've come up with this list this week of the top five successful marketing campaigns. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Yeah, these are the five most successful marketing campaigns per Mary Pomerantz Advertising.com. And for different reasons, as we go through them, I'll describe why they were successful. Number one is the De Beers company, the A Diamond Is Forever campaign. De Beers in 1948, you're coming out of the Great Depression. Diamond ring sales were plummeting. People just didn't have the money to spend on them. So they create the Diamond Is Forever campaign. Not only did that boost their sales, but they literally created the concept of the engagement ring. Before then, that was not really a thing. So literally, they created their own market for their product in a time when people were just coming out of a very money-tight time. The next one is the California Milk Processor Board, the Got Milk ad. This really started out in 1993. It will start as a radio campaign. A person asked a question as a quiz show worth $10,000. And when the guy calls in, he tries to correctly answer the question, but he can't talk because his mouth is full of peanut butter. So the DJ hangs up on him, and at the end, the ad narrator says, "Got milk?" And of course, that moved to their print advertisement campaign, which we now know with the milk mustache. Everybody, every celebrity has done one of those just about. So again, another huge marketing campaign just kind of a simplistic campaign, but really has taken off. Number three is Marlboro Cigarettes, the Marlboro Man. Marlboro, most people don't realize when Marlboros were first introduced, their brand slogan was called Mild as May, and they were marketed to women. And that, yeah, so when they came, when they decided to come out, they needed, we wouldn't need to make this marketed towards men. So they found what's the one of the most manly things you can think of. It's a cowboy, right? So, you know, when they did that, it showed this free lifestyle, manly thing. The sky, it evidently touched a nerve with men because it's skyrocketed sales by 72. Now, this was 55 when Marlboro came out. By 1972, Marlboro was the highest selling tobacco brand, and the Marlboro Man was known worldwide. And that, and it just goes to show that, you know, certain brands can be affixed to certain lifestyles, which we all, I mean, duh, right? You know, so that's you, when you start building that familiarity and that idea of, if I think the Stones even sing about, you know, in one of their songs about wearing the right shirt, you know, it's not a novel concept, but it was one that was very, very, very successful. The fourth one is Nike Just Do It. And really, this was, yeah, at the time, Reebok actually was selling more sneakers than Nike was. And Nike had to figure out something to push themselves ahead. And they decided to try to capitalize on the fitness craze of the 80s. So, you know, part of their thing was like, you said you'd do it tomorrow. Yesterday you said tomorrow, just do it. And then they tied it to Michael Jordan again. And so now it's the, you know, get up and do it type thing. And, you know, it's become another, I mean, in what, three simple words, you know exactly what that brand is. And then the last one is the Volkswagen Beetle. This is an older one. But in 1959, Volkswagen came out with the Think Small campaign, and it was built around the shape and the size of the Volkswagen Beetle. But instead of placing the vehicle as the major part of the ad, remember, this was a time when cars were all big, and people were starting to look at trying to find a small, compact vehicle. Sorry, Chris, you can cut that out. But the Volkswagen came out with this Think Small campaign. And basically, if you ever looked at the ad, it's basically a blank sheet with a Volkswagen Bug that's kind of tiny. Takes up maybe less than a fourth of the page. And so it was mostly filled with white space, and then the car was placed off center and very, very small. And it just piqued the interest of the buying public. So it was kind of one of those advertisements that was unique. It was different. It kind of went against the grain. But it said everything you needed to say about what people wanted in a vehicle at that time. So there are the five most successful marketing campaigns per the Mary Pomerantz Advertising Company, MaryPomerantzAdvertising.com. So, gentlemen, what do you think would be the greatest marketing campaign of all time?
And I think you look. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
I'm going to challenge both of you right here. I'm going to change it just a little bit. Instead of us just naming one, let's do it a little bit differently. Let's take these top five and put them in order for each of you. You all pick what order you think it should be in.
All right. Go ahead, Casey.
Okay. I'm going to start off with like five, then go down to one, who I think is the best.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Five, I think, would be Volkswagen. When you look at the four, the Volkswagen campaign was successful, but not nearly as successful as some of these. I would go Got Milk at four. I would go De Beers with the Diamonds at three. Now, that leaves Nike and the Marlboro Man. Nike is probably the more iconic of the two. I mean, it's still in, it's as far as commercially, it's still run today. But there's only one of these ads that prompted Congress to clamp down on cigarettes, and that was Marlboro. That was their ad, and that was people that was smoking increasing over a couple of decades because of this ad. It came out in Congress that Marlboro and other tobacco companies were pushing these type of ads to get people to smoke more. So there's only one of these ads that prompted congressional legislation, and that is the Marlboro Man. So that would be number one. As successful, but in terms of the impact, I think that would put it in the number one slot.
Okay. Chris, you want me to go or you want to go?
I'll take this one. And for the very reason that Casey just mentioned is the reason I don't have Marlboro at number one. In fact, I've got Volkswagen at five, largely because they didn't really have a big impact until the new Beetle came around.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm putting Marlboro at four because without the congressional jurisdictions that they had placed on advertising, it really hurt the cigarette companies making an impact. If it's not for Congress stepping in, this is probably number one because now their impact was limited so much it really tailed off.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I've got Gottmilk. Number two, I've got De Beers. I'm putting Nike at number one simply because Michael Jordan boosted Nike to a level that they never really had. They were never really could have imagined until he came along. And they're still reaping the benefits of that long after he's retired. Because Nike has now spawned the Jordan brand. When you see a lot of college and professional teams are using Nike for their apparel now instead of Reebok or Adidas or Under Armour. Nike is long as far and ahead the major player in the sports apparel world, and this has gone on for the last 30 some odd years, and it still goes on to this day. That's why I've got Nike at number one, and I'm pushing Marlboro down the list at number four.
Very good. All right. You're both wrong.
Well.
Okay. No, just playing. We aren't there yet. This is my list. I'm going to go with Volkswagen also, the Think Small, as the number five. One, the reason is it really didn't displace other cars. It filled a niche market with a compact car at the time that wasn't really there. So it wasn't like it was knocking off other small cars. It was filling a niche. And yeah, it was filling a niche with a small car, but it was unique, but it was not really competing with others of like sizes. Number four I've got is the Gottmilk ad. And the reason why is just, it's a good print ad, but basically, it's a celebrity photo shot, headshot with a milk mustache. It's a great ad for milk, but what else are you going to advertise? How are you going to advertise milk? I mean, honestly, Marlboro would be my number three, and the reason why is that I have a hard time with giving a lot of credit to an addictive product that people are going to buy anyway. So let's just buy the most manly of the addictive products. It is iconic. I'm not saying it's not a great marketing strategy, but in the realm of this particular grouping, I have to put Marlboro at number three because basically, I mean, what'd you have? Newports and Cools and Yeah, and truthfully, I like, back in the day when I smoked, did I smoke Marlboros? Because it was the most recognizable brand. It had nothing to do with the Marlboro Man. It was just, it was the most marketed. My number four is Nike. And I do think the Nike Just Do It is excellent. I think it did a lot to build, to push Nike to number one across the nation in a very, very tough market, because you're dealing with Adidas and Puma, which were, that's another episode, but that's basically two brothers that started both of those companies. And yeah, you had Reebok and so many others. But here's the thing. The beers, as diabolical of a company as you might find the beers to be, they created the engagement ring. They got people to spend money on a rock that is valuable only because they say it's valuable, because they create all the scarcity. And then they have somehow programmed us to feel less than adequate if we don't buy a piece of this rock and put it in a gold band. They essentially created and programmed the entire human freaking race with this diamond is forever stuff. That is the greatest marketing scheme ever, as diabolical and evil as it is. That is, to me, that is Dr. Evil, Dr. Blofeld, Bond villain type stuff.
Well, one thing is for certain, we cannot agree on the number one marketing campaign.
Well, I did do the math, though. I did do the math based upon who an average ranking. And based upon the average ranking between all three of us, Nike would come out ahead.
Right. Because we all had in the top two.
Yes. Yeah.
I think the beers would probably be second, I would think, right?
I think Marlboro actually, do you have Marlboro at number four?
I dropped it to four.
Okay. Yeah. I think, it maybe got milk. No, I had
no, because you dropped it to four.
Yeah. You're right.
We all had the beers in the top three, I think.
Yeah. You're right. So it's got to be. So for the purpose of the GOAT list, Nike has got to be the most successful marketing campaign. Yeah. Casey, do you agree with that?
I agree with that.
Based upon our, if you average out what we did.
Yeah.
We did it a little bit differently, and math is hard, but Nike, you have the most successful marketing campaign of all time. So with that.
Nike. Wait a minute, Chris. Nike, sponsor this podcast. Just do it.
Just do it. Boom. There you go. Now, before we have two more segments to come in this episode, and we'll get to both of those on the other side of the break. So we'll just take it right here. This is the Casserole of Nonsense, and we'll talk to you in a minute. Welcome back to the Casserole of Nonsense, where we do not encourage ingesting Lysol. We have a new segment, and hopefully you'll like it. It really needs no introduction, but we're going to do it anyway. This is quite simply called Overrated, and we bring an example of something we think is overrated, and we basically tell you why. So in this episode, we're going to bring our own examples of the most overrated Super Bowl commercial of all time. Let me clarify that. One that was judged as a great ad based on post-game ad ratings or ad metering or however they're going to judge it. And for whatever reason, we find them underwhelming. So our job here is to tell you what it is and why. And so we'll all defend our own turf. And I'm going to lead off with one that, quite honestly, if you hadn't seen the ad, you wouldn't know what it was for. This was back in 2000. You guys remember the cat herder? The cat herding ad, right? Herding cats?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Do you have any clue who that was?
Was it E-Trade?
No.
Cat herding. It eludes me, Chris. I'm sorry.
These two ranchers are herding a bunch of cats. I don't know. You just have to look it up. Well, the company was EDS. And EDS was bought out by Hewlett-Packard in 2008. So EDS technically doesn't exist anymore. This is now basically an HP company. But the commercial itself was highly acclaimed. But it's a great commercial, but it's overrated because I can't tell you anything about what it's about except herding cats. It doesn't tell me anything about the company or what they do. It's just basically herding a bunch of cats. Now, it's hard enough to do, but, you know, if you're going to have an ad, it's got to be relevant to your company in some way, shape, or form, and they never made it make sense to me. So,
I like it.
If you were bad enough to be bought out, then it wasn't effective. But people liked it because it was a bunch of cats.
Well,
this was before cat videos got really popular on the internet. So,
see, it may have just been ahead of its time.
Possibly, but I also have full disclosure, I work for a competitor of HP. So,
before I give you mine is consistently number one or number two in the best Super Bowl commercials of all time. I'll give you one guess, each of you. What do you think it is?
Apple.
No.
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. I'm taking this thing all the way back to 1979 with an ad called, "Hey, kid, catch. I hate the Joe," or whatever his name is.
Mean Joe Green.
Mean Joe, whatever his name is.
Gene.
Cannot stand the Coca-Cola commercial with Mean Joe Green.
Oh, my God.
Joe's still alive, by the way. Don't you know that?
He is. He may come and hunt me down.
He's going to come find you.
So Green just completed a football game. What's the last thing this guy's going to want? A stupid Coke. Okay, a stupid Coke, especially from a stupid kid. Nobody – how did that kid even get down there anyway?
This is 79.
It was the 70s.
It was the 70s, okay? That Coke was probably the least of what was being used in the dugout. This is the time – 79, they were still smoking cigarettes in the baseball dugout. So.
Yeah.
I don't like the ad. I never have liked the ad. I don't. Maybe some people like it. I don't like it. So get it out of here.
Wow, that's a little un-American almost.
It makes me want to go pull up that picture of Bart Starr having a fresco and ripping a heater at halftime of the Super Bowl. That's what that makes me want to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're right, Casey.
Yeah, you were right.
You were gonna come with a hot take.
You said we were going to hate it. You said we were going to hate it then. Well,
now
yeah, we hate it.
Now we're down by Coca-Cola. It's coming.
Yeah.
No, we just can't do a live show in Pittsburgh now.
No, we can't do a live show, period, because somebody's going to find him.
Stupid Steelers, too. Steelers suck. Mean Joe sucks. They all suck.
I hope you have a will.
Casey, tell us how you really feel.
I hope you have a will, just saying.
Yeah. There are Steeler fans all over the nation. Now, if you go to Texas, you might be safe.
Yeah, true.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you know mine. But first of all, do you guys know what a Super Bowl commercial is going to go for this year?
What, 1.5 million for 30 seconds?
I think it was more than that. I think it was around the 2.5 million mark.
$5.6 million for a 30-second ad.
Okay, we refuse.
It's 186,667 per second. Dang. The one that The one I'm going to put up there, somebody spent $5 million on this piece of crap. This is a Mountain Dew commercial. It was very unnerving. But it's the Puppy Bunky Baby Mountain Dew commercial. Where the three guys are sitting in there and they're watching the game, and this abomination comes in with a baby diaper and legs, a monkey torso with a tail, and a puppy face. And it comes strolling in there with a bucket of purple Mountain Dew, which all I can think of is it was either laced with LSD or the person who thought this crap up was high on LSD, because my gosh, this was nightmare fuel. This, Scott, $5 billion spent on this Mountain Dew Kickstarter is what it was. 2016, and this is what they give us? No, that was considered, but just from the nightmare fuel alone and the fact that people are walking around going, puppy, baby, was it puppy, monkey, baby, puppy, puppy, baby. I mean, no. It was horrible. I'm scarred just from having to go look it up again. This was so bad, it knocks the Britney Spears Super Bowl commercial that I absolutely detest from 2002 straight off the park. I'm actually a Britney Spears fan now because of this.
Wow. Okay. Well, we know what gives Scott nightmares now.
Yeah. Fear of me walking anywhere with Chris and anywhere in the state of anywhere in Western Pennsylvania.
Hey, with Casey, not me. Get it right.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
I'm a wanted man. I must admit, I'm a wanted man.
Oh, man. Wow.
And I'm going to throw in another group of ads that I particularly don't care for. Just because I don't like the product, and y'all may hate me for this, but Doritos ads suck.
Yes.
I don't know. The Allie Landry one with the Doritos that were shooting out of the dryer.
I mean, those were okay, but that particular one was fine. The one with Sam Elliott this year was good, but the rest of them, you know, I don't care for them.
I get that. And truthfully, the only reason the Allie Landry one was good was Allie Landry. Well,
yeah, exactly. I mean, you almost forget Cindy Crawford was in a Pepsi commercial.
Yeah, but that was a pretty good. Good commercial.
I mean, that's one of my favorites.
Didn't help. It came along at the right age for me.
Yeah.
But it's and there are a lot of really good Super Bowl ads. And we'll probably talk about some of them later.
Yeah, we're about to, because we're gonna kick one out, and one's got to go.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So
we're only dealing with one advertising family here, though, so maybe Casey won't piss them all off.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Well, you want to roll right into it, Chris?
Let's roll it.
All right. Well, we're talking about One's Got to Go. This One's Got to Go was brought to you by what I hope will someday be a sponsor, Anheuser-Busch. But what we're talking about are Budweiser ads. Budweiser has done a wonderful, masterful job of coming up with some creative ads, both in the Super Bowl and just regular. Of course, the Clydesdale ads are very, very famous, especially around Christmas time and around the Super Bowl. But they've come up with some other ones that were pretty doggone awesome. So I'm going to give four, and then we're going to decide which have to go, which one has to go out of these four. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So number one is the Budweiser Frogs. You remember that Budweiser Frogs commercial? The frogs are in the swamp, and they're saying Bud, Budweiser.
Budweiser.
All right, let's try to do this right. Chris, you start. Casey in the middle.
Bud.
Weiser.
Oh, Bud. See, we can do it, Anheuser-Busch. All you have to do is call us. Okay, the second one, and I'm going to put all these together because, I mean, it's the Budweiser Clydesdales. I know there are a lot of them. You have the one with the puppy and the Clydesdale that are friends. The ones my personal favorite is the one where the two cowboys are standing on the fence and all the Clydesdales are just standing there looking around. You see a zebra looking at a teleprompter, and the one cowboy looks at the other and says, "This referee is a jackass." So, actually, he's a zebra. But, you know, do they always do that? Do they go to the Clydesdale commercials are iconic and really, yeah, they're really a big part of that company. And so that whole ad campaign is pretty good. What may be the most annoying yet beloved Budweiser commercial, the Wazzah. That's how we should start every episode. Hey, Chris. See, Budweiser, we can do that too.
Wow.
I didn't say we could do it well. I just said we could do it too. But I mean, that was so so well known. It had people saying "Wazzah" all over the place. Actually, found itself into a Scream movie. Scary movie. Scary movie, not Scream.
Which would have been funny in a Scream movie.
Yes, it would have.
I'm sorry, Scary movie. That was that's because I didn't watch the Scream movies, but I did watch the Scary movie.
It would go something like this. Hello, Cindy. What's up?
Okay, Cindy. And number four. This one's a little bit more recent. And it is the Bud Light Medieval Day. So this is the Bud Knight and the Dilly Dilly.
Dilly Dilly.
You know, Pit of Misery. You know, throw him in the Pit of Misery. So that campaign. So, guys, I'm going to let you battle this one out. Which one do you think's got to go? Casey, you want to start it off?
I'll start it off. I love the Budweiser Frogs. That was, what, 96, 97, somewhere in that range?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
The Clydesdales are iconic. I mean, every year you're expecting a Clydesdale ad. I think the best of the four is probably the Was Up, because people still do that even to this day, and that was back in 2001. I cannot stand, as much as I don't like the mean Joe Green ad, I cannot stand the Dilly Dilly ad. That can just get out of town, along with E. Joan Green and a kid, too. They all can get in the same car and get out of town.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Chris, rebuttal time for you.
Well, first off, the Clydesdales, probably my favorite, one of my favorite ads was the 9/11 ad, the memorial ad. That's one of the that's one of the strongest ones that I think has ever been put out.
That one made me want a drink.
Right. The frogs were always fun, and I certainly enjoyed that. I enjoyed Dilly Dilly just as much as anybody else, so What's Up's got to go.
I think you enjoy that a little more than everybody else.
I probably enjoy it more than most. You're probably right. I probably more than anybody deserves to, I guess. But
Yeah. So
there have been a few. Well, part of it is there have been a few Bud Lights where that came along. So,
well, part of enjoying a good commercial is what it means to you, and part of that, you know, those brand associations are, you know, what makes you loyal to a certain brand. So I get it. I honestly do. Who doesn't love Clydesdales? I mean, really. I mean, even if it is a tearjerker tugging at your heart or, you know, something like that, or even what was it, they came out with a Budweiser donkey at one time. They're always heartfelt and they're always just great American commercials. The Budweiser Frogs, that was brilliant. Came along at a time it was simple. Just really simple.
Yep.
But it had everybody doing it. Wow. This is tough because this is these two are some of the most annoying yet memorable commercials ever. But I'm going to have to agree with Chris.
Oh.
The WhatsApp commercial.
Oh.
Isn't that the one you threw out, Chris?
Yeah, that's the one that's gone.
That, yes, I agree with you, Casey. People are still saying that. And I still want to throttle them. even though we just went through and did it. I'm not saying that any of these are bad commercials. They're not.
No, they're not.
But if one's got to go, I mean, the WhatsApp can get old really, really quick. At the Dilly Dilly, at first, it was the WhatsApp. I mean, it really was. But then it kind of morphed into the Bud Knight and a lot of other stuff. That so they learned their lesson. They didn't push it too far. The WhatsApp was all on that one commercial. And for me, it's while brilliant, it's kind of a one-shot Johnny. I'm not. That's the one for me. That's got to go.
Yeah, I think too about the What's Up commercial is it kind of takes away from the fact that it's really a Budweiser commercial. It's overdone.
Trust me, I'd much rather see What's Up than that damn puppy monkey baby thing.
Yeah, well, this is true, but I mean. When you go back to the basis of what an ad really is, it is pushing a product.
That's true.
I mean, I think of it more as What's Up than Budweiser.
I think the only commercial that really, really won without ever mentioning a product, and this is not in this discussion, is that Apple commercial.
Yeah.
The 1984.
Yeah.
Because it didn't bring up at all what the product was.
No.
But nobody knew what a home computer was at that time anyway. So I agree. It really just kind of takes away from, what are you doing? Watching the game, drinking a Bud.
Yeah.
Hey, homie, what's up?
I'm gonna kind of add on a little bit to this, and I'm going to say there's one that needs to come back that we haven't seen in a long time, especially in the Super Bowl, and that's the Bud Bowl ads.
Yeah.
Those were I enjoyed the Bud Bowl ads, and I wish they would have come back. I mean, Budweiser versus Bud Light, and these beer bottles have helmets on them, and it was actually cool to have those, and we haven't seen them for years, and I wish somebody would, give it a shot again.
Yeah, I think they somewhat got usurped by the Clydesdales plane because it was kind of a similar thing. But
right. But imagine in the next Super Bowl if Budweiser dusted those off.
Hey, I'm for it.
What kind of nostalgia it would bring back?
Casey, did... Do you remember those?
He got quiet.
Yes, so. I do.
He got quiet, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's.
I don't have as much hatred for those as I do. I don't know why I call him Mean Gene.
Mean
I guess I got
Gene.
WCW.
You got Joe Green.
You got Mean Gene Oakland on the mind right there.
here's a commercial I wish would come back, Chris. And I know, for the this kind of goes against Anheuser-Busch and the one's got to go. But here's a commercial I wish would come back. And I think that you'll agree with me here. I think the Taste Great, Less Filling commercials need to come back.
There you go. Yeah.
The Bob Uecker and... Conrad Dobler, and those were always, always fun.
Yeah.
And they didn't take themselves seriously.
Exactly. And I like that Miller Lite went back to the packaging that reflects those days.
Let me know.
If you remember how the bottles looked.
I need something out of there
the bottles
we
and the
can
cans
start stacking. And I need you to have both of your hands ready. No, I need you.
I don't know what that was.
I'm not sure either.
Casey? Did we lose Casey?
I'm here.
Oh.
No, stop bringing them there. No.
What's going on?
They're writing an ad.
Did somebody have a background running where they had a commercial or something?
That may be the most random thing we've ever had happen.
I know it. I just hope that it didn't. I hope it didn't belong to a commercial or some kind of.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear you.
Back in the game.
Okay. That was the weirdest thing I ever heard. I mean, all of a sudden somebody started talking about unpacking and.
More like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
There was some random woman's voice come through.
Yeah. just.
I don't know what that was.
Wait, don't know or won't don't know or won't say.
Won't say.
Okay.
Okay. Well, just as long as we don't have to worry about it showing up on the podcast.
Maybe we should just keep it and just let it roll.
Yeah, we could.
Oh man. Okay. Well, on that note, it's probably a good time to wrap this thing up. Thanks to all the sponsors that haven't sponsored us.
Yes.
And maybe the ones who will at some point in the future. But with all the weird noises going on here at the end of this episode, it's probably time to say goodbye. For Casey and Scott, I'm Chris. Thanks for listening. And, let's keep it weird.
Absolutely.
See you guys.
Everybody be safe out there.